third week of September. Some people know this as peak week when it comes to asthma. We're going to find out why higher levels of asthma triggers and attacks than average occur during the third week of September. Several reasons why. We'll get some of those talked about. We are joined this morning by Dr. Purvi Parikh. He's an adult and pediatric allergist and immunologist, along with Kenneth Mendez, Chief Executive Officer and President for Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. Kenneth, if we could start with you a little bit, what is peak week about? What's the significance of this week in September?
Sure. Well, thank you. Peak week happens every year during the third week of September when asthma attacks and hospitalizations tend to be highest. You know, that comes from changing seasons, the fall allergy seasons, along with kids returning back to school. That gets back in full swing. Parents and teachers come together in an indoor airspace, so you transfer respiratory infection. So those things tend to trigger asthma. So that's why we call the third week of September peak week. And what a lot of people don't realize is that asthma can be fatal. 10 deaths a day occur from asthma, and it's the number one reason for missed school days in the U.S.
We have with us Dr. Parikh. If you could explain a little bit to us some additional reasons for this asthma attack as an immunologist and dealing with the patients themselves, what do you see?
Right. So there are several factors that may contribute, including irregular medication use from the summer months, and that, you know, what people don't realize is they don't follow their routine that sets them up for asthma flare-ups and asthma attacks. And then poor air quality is also another example of an environmental trigger that contributes to these asthma attacks, especially this year where we saw wildfires across certain areas of the U.S. That exacerbated it. And unfortunately, you know, asthma burden remains high. You know, we're seeing 10.3 million asthma attacks a year and close to 2 million emergency room visits. And many people may not realize, you know, that there are two sides to asthma, not just airway narrowing, but also airway inflammation. And so that's why, you know, we've partnered with AstraZeneca to raise awareness about this issue.
Kenneth, can you give us insight into the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America? What's your real goal as an organization?
Sure. Well, obviously, we want to educate the public about asthma and allergies and what they could do to help manage both of those things. You know, we release an asthma capitals report. This is one example where we look at the 100 largest cities and the ones that are most challenging to live in with asthma. And we use three criteria: prevalence, mortality, and emergency room visits. So Cleveland, for example, ranks as the fourth worst place if you don't want to be high on that list. But those three criteria are examples of things that people need to be aware of and hopefully can try and control. So, you know, reducing emergency room visits would be understanding what your triggers are, making sure you maintain your medication, seeing a specialist. Those are examples of things that we try and amplify with the community.
How is it diagnosed, and what are some of the symptoms, if either of you could speak on that and sort of the impact that asthma really has on an individual?
Sure. I mean, just in terms of, as a patient, the symptoms, I have had asthma myself, and we hear this from our community. There's coughing, there's wheezing, and honestly, it feels like you're breathing out of a straw. It can be very challenging for some, and I'm sure the doctor kind of can talk about the patients that she sees.
Right. I would echo that. It's, coughing can be one of the most common symptoms people don't think of. But, as Kenneth mentioned, the shortness of breath, wheezing, very difficulty breathing. And usually we can diagnose it in a few ways. Your doctor will see you, examine you, take a thorough history, and then may need to do some breathing tests to confirm that it is, in fact, asthma.
Is it something we always think of, maybe children that have asthma? Is this something you can gain over a lifetime later on, or is it something that happens maybe to younger people?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, many people do think this is a pediatric disease, but there's actually more adults with asthma than children. You know, so there's about 8 million children with asthma, but even, you know, close to 18 to 20 million adults that live with asthma, and you can develop it at any time.
What are some of the, I guess, misperceptions about asthma that we might have that you could help dispel this morning?
So there's many misperceptions, but again, many people kind of think that it's a disease of airway narrowing or tightening, but what many people don't realize is that it's also a disease of inflammation, especially unexpected inflammation that can kind of creep up on you. And, you know, our current rescue medications that we have, something called a short-acting bronchodilator, only addresses one side of the asthma attack, which is the airway narrowing. It doesn't address the inflammation. And it's really important to know that there are, you know, two sides to an asthma attack, and that, you know, a rescue inhaler is not enough often to treat both sides.
Well, that leads us to twosidestoasthma.com. Tell us about what's on that site from AstraZeneca.
Right. So, you know, it's a website, twosidestoasthma.com, and that's using the number twos. And it's a great resource so that patients can learn about those two sides, both the airway narrowing and tightening, and that way be empowered to speak to their doctor about the best treatment options for them to kind of address both that airway tightening and the airway inflammation.
Kenneth, I always thought like the spring and summer were more asthma seasons, but now we have this peak week that's in September. So really people with asthma, every season has an issue with them, I would assume.
Yeah,
definitely. You know, I would say another thing to remember, because we also are the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, because of climate change, allergy seasons are getting longer and more intense. And seasonal allergies, per what you just mentioned, in the springtime can be a trigger for asthma. So while we have peak week in the fall, I think the other thing to remember is that climate change is making allergy seasons longer and more intense, and that will actually drive and can trigger asthma attacks. And certainly in the fall season, with peak week, that's the fall allergy season.
Again, twosidestoasthma.com, the number two for that, to get some good information about the people that need to know this. And, of course, you want to make sure you can check in with your doctor as well. Speaking today with Dr. Purvi Parikh and also Keith Mendez, who is the Chief Executive Officer and President of Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. And I'm sure you can find great information from them as well. Thanks for sharing this peak week with us today. Appreciate your time, both of you.